Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. Just a little review from last night, especially concerning chapter 1 and 2, the two chapters. I think we all need to have a very deep impression of what our goal is, and that is very important. Right? That is why in chapter 1, when introducing this wonderful Christ to us, we all need to see, first of all, who this Christ is and what the goal is. It's very important for us to see this. For many of the Christians, the goal is their salvation, dying for us on the cross. And that is all that actually we are deeply impressed with. But I'm afraid that many of us, or many of the believers, do not realize that the real goal, actually what God wants to accomplish through our Lord Jesus Christ, is not just to save us dying on a cross. That is why the sign of the cross is almost everywhere in the Philippines, right? You go anywhere, you see the sign of the cross in a cathedral or in any of the Christian meeting places, because this is what they really preach. I'm not saying it's wrong, but this is just the initial work of Christ. We have to realize, according to the book of Hebrews, what God wants to accomplish with Christ is to bring him all the way from the cross to the throne, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the book of Hebrews tells us very clearly the reason why. Because this is God's purpose with humanity. This is the very reason why God created man. Your destiny is to be on the throne, right? If you don't have this goal in view, you will not know where you're heading. Remember, Paul says he pressed toward the mark to reach the goal. So Paul has a goal as a Christian. So what is your goal as a Christian? Going to heaven? The Bible didn't say that. And I don't mean that there's no heaven, right? But the goal is to bring you all the way to the throne. And the throne there in Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God wants to have his kingdom here on this earth. We all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Everybody knows our Father. So how did the Lord teach his disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, and we pray that we will all go to heaven. Is that the Lord's Prayer? No. What is it? Hallowed be thy name, that his name will be glorified. Not just in the heavens, but on this earth. There's no problem up there, but a problem is here. So, the second thing in this Lord's Prayer is, your kingdom what? Come. Where? Here. Here. God wants to bring the heavenly kingdom down to this earth. And this is the reason why when the Lord came to this earth, right in the very beginning, both John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ and all his disciples of the Lord Jesus, their gospel was repent. Why? For the kingdom of the heavens is near. It's coming, right? So here we really have to see that this is really the goal of the gospel. Otherwise, why did the Lord do so much and paid such a great price to save you and me, to save us? Why? Because when God created man, the goal is for man to rule over what God has created. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, you can see there when God created man according to his image and likeness, he says, and let man have dominion over all of his creation. This is the very purpose why God created us. And if you read the whole Bible to the very end, why is there an old covenant? Because God is preparing to achieve his goal. And that is why he called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and again, people of Israel. Why? In order to have his kingdom. And God, in the Old Testament days, he wanted to be the king of Israel. But unfortunately, the Jews rejected him to be the king during the time of Samuel. You all know the history, right? God told Samuel, no, they did not reject you, but they rejected me to be their king. So Israel was supposed to be what? Kingdom of God on this earth at that time. But they failed again, just like Adam failed. So Israel failed again. Goodness. And they began to worship idols. And finally, God gave them up. They were all brought into captivity in Babylon. So then the Lord came the first time on this earth, the Messiah. For many of us, The name Messiah means what? Savior, right? We all, in our concept, Christ is the Messiah, meaning to say what? He's our Savior, right? This is what tradition taught us. But if you ask the Jew, he will tell you the Messiah means the anointed one, to be the king. This is why even wise men from the East, knowing that the Messiah is coming and is going to be born, when they came, the question was not, where is the Savior going to be born? That was another question. What was their question, Lorraine? Where is the King of the Jews going to be born? And when Herod heard that shocked him out of his wit. What? I am the king. What do you mean another king is going to be born? My goodness, that's why Herod killed all the children there, because the wise men did not come back to tell him where the king was supposed to be born. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, of course he came to be the Savior, first of all, to save us. Otherwise, how can he fulfill his purpose, right? And so when the Lord came to this earth, he fulfilled what Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9 says, behold, your king cometh, what? Lowly, riding on a donkey, bringing with him salvation, because the Lord has to accomplish salvation first to save us, because he didn't want to be just king by himself. He wants to make us kings and priests with him together. That's your destiny, if you want it. So if you don't want it, nobody's going to force you, right? Nobody's going to force you if you want. If you don't want it, that's fine. For some of you who may not know these verses, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. The last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Amen. Let us start in verse 5. How about that? In verse 5. And from Jesus Christ. Let's read it together to have an impression, right? All of us. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Hey, this is the ultimate goal of the Lord. So when he came back, what is his title? The Savior of the world? What is his title when he comes back the second time? Louder. Just the king? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the title of our Lord when he comes back. No longer just the Savior of mankind, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is very important for you to know. The first time when he came to accomplish salvation. But a second time when he comes again, he is going to come as the king over the rulers of the earth. And his title will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, let's continue to read again, right? In verse 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, period. Come our period. Oh, no, that's good enough. He washed us from your sins. Aren't you happy enough? No? No? What else did he say? Yes, and has made us what? Come on, and has made us to be Christians and sons of God. Is that good enough? How about that? What are you? Oh, in the future, what are you going to be? And if you believe you're going to be kings, then how are you going to be king if you don't grow and mature in life today and you're not perfected? Suppose the whole people here in the Philippines voted you to be the president of the Philippines. How about that? Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be the president? Do you really want to be? It's not a matter of want to be. Are you qualified? If you have never trained yourself to know how to rule, right? At least you have to know the whole constitution of the country. And you have to be a very good example. Otherwise, so how are you going to rule over this country? You think it's easier to rule over the Philippines? No, how about you, Jesse? We'll all vote for you. How about that? I don't think any one of us would really dare to do it. It's not because we don't want to, but because we are not qualified yet. There's a lot of things to learn, right? So here, in this wonderful verse in the Bible, it says, not only he wants to save us from our sins and cleanse us, but he wants to make us kings and priests. Right? So here, you all need to be very, very clear. Right? And the Lord himself, he is the king, and he is today, according to Hebrews chapter 1, he is now sitting on the throne on high, at the right hand of the majesty on high. And his kingdom is what kind of a kingdom? Is a righteous kingdom forever and ever. Today you don't see any righteousness in this world. That's why everything is full of corruption, right? Worldwide, don't think any other kingdom is better. No, there's a lot of corruption. And the history of this world is a history of war after war, right? So many unrighteous acts and deeds and terrible, right? This is the kingdom of this world because mankind is fallen. And John says, the whole world today lies in the hands of the evil one, right? So who is ruling today? Just man? No. Actually, behind all this government, you have the power of darkness influencing them. That's why you have so much trouble in this world today, right? And therefore, we saw last night what Hebrews chapter 2 says, the coming world, concerning the coming world. The Bible is very meaningful. You need to understand this. In chapter 2, verse 5, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak. Now, you tell me, where did he talk about this? In Hebrews. Why did the writer say, for he has not put a world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels? Now, when did he speak about this in the book of Hebrews here? I caught you, right? That shows it is not so easy to understand. Just by talking about Christ, what he has accomplished, and then talking about the angels, and talking about the Lord sitting today on the throne, far above all the angels. Why did he mention all these? Because he's talking not just today, but in the coming age. Because today you don't see Christ ruling, although he's sitting up there on the throne and definitely. And it says here, right, a scepter in chapter 1 verse 8. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. And Messiah, the word Messiah means the anointed one. So the Lord is anointed with the oil of gladness, far above or more than your companions who are his companions. We are his companions, right? So praise the Lord, meaning to say, yes, he is the anointed one, but now we, as members of his body, we are co-sharers of his anointing oil. Right? We are also anointed, but not as much as he does. And I want to call to your attention the qualification of being anointed far above his companion is what? He loves righteousness, and he hates lawlessness. How about all of us here? The other way around, eh? We love lawlessness more than righteousness, unfortunately. Because we live in such a terrible condition today, and what are you going to do? Right? You're right. We are just the opposite, especially fallen human beings. We love lawlessness more than righteousness. Right? But, praise the Lord, our Lord sitting on the throne here, he loves righteousness, and he hates lawlessness. So today in the church life, in this wonderful realm, which is his kingdom actually, we all need to learn to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. Right? Now, then, in chapter 2, he continued to talk about it. Right? Why today the Lord is sitting on the throne? Because that he didn't want to just sit by himself there. He wants to make us co-kings with him, to rule over the whole world. This is really, really marvelous. Right? We are going to inherit the nations. And this is what the Lord promised Thyatira. You have to really see this, especially the young people. Don't think, oh, I don't understand that. No, you will understand it. Right? And you have to understand it. This is your destiny. Even in Psalm 2, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your possession. Or Psalm 149. For the sake of some of you, let's turn to Psalm 149. As early as the time of David, let us read, right? Psalm 149. Let us read. Right. Praise the Lord. This is concerning the Lord's coming again, right? In verse 5. Let us all read it together. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgments. This honor have all his saints. Well, praise the Lord. Have you ever enjoyed these verses before? Right. Even there in these wonderful Psalms, it already tells us what our job is at the very end when the Lord comes. Do you enjoy this honor? Don't you want to have this honor? But you have to realize, in order to have this honor, we need to be equipped today. We need to be perfected today. We need to be trained by him. Can you imagine we are just as unrighteous and lawless as the people in the world? How are you going to judge them? Right? Because, if you're going to be to judge me, I'll tell him, hey, you're not any better than I. How can you judge me? Right? So the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is a kingdom of righteousness, uprightness. Right? And today, the solid food in the book of Hebrews is what? The word of righteousness. This is really marvelous. So you can really realize and see how important this word righteousness is. I think many of the Christians today do not have this vocabulary in the spiritual sense. We have our own righteousness, but we're not talking about our own righteousness, we're talking about his righteousness. Right? Remember what the Lord told his disciples in chapter 5 of Matthew, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you cannot enter into the kingdom. So we all need to learn this. Don't think it is easy. But don't think it is impossible either. It is not impossible. But praise God, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, tells us how to do it and how the Lord is going to help us to achieve this wonderful goal. Right? So may the Lord really help us in these last few meetings, right? Amen. Let's go back. Let us go back. So in chapter 2, praise the Lord, it says, he has not put the world to come of which we speak. That means the whole Bible is talking about it. And this is the goal. Remember, it is the goal. Not in subjection to angels, but definitely to us. That is why he quoted again Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? Meaning to say, what are we? Yeah? Don't look down on yourself. It's wonderful to be a man. Or would you prefer to be something else? Right? If you don't want to be a man, a person, a human being, what do you want to be? Tell me. What is your next choice to be? If you have a choice to be angel, to be an angel, or to be a man, or to be a... what dog do you have? What kind of a viler? What do you call it? Those? No, you had a big one, you know. Rothweiler. It's a good dog, right? Faithful, right? Yeah, watch over your house. It's not bad. That's why your house was safe. Nobody dares to come to your house, right? So you have three choices. You want to be a man, an angel, or a Rothweiler. What do you want to be? Of course you want to be a human being. Now you have to tell me why. Because in the world to come, God wants to make us kings and priests. Not in heaven. No. I don't mean you will not go to heaven. But the kingdom is coming down from heaven to the earth, the millennial kingdom. 1,000 years the Lord is going to rule over the nations right here on this earth. Not in heaven. No. And Ezekiel tells us, his throne will be in Jerusalem. And we will be the co-kings with him to rule over the nations. Whether you like it or not, you better like it. Because if you're not qualified to rule with him, you're in trouble at that time. Because somehow the Lord still will have to perfect you as a son of God and as a believer, right? For the coming new heaven and new earth after the 1,000 years of millennial kingdom, then you have the new heaven and new earth and you have eternity. And by that time, all of us will be perfected. The question is, when, right? So, you all need to be wise today. You all need to be wise. Wake up, because time is very near. Right? So, the world to come is put in subjection to us, to man. And you have to see this goal. This is why you're saved. This is why the Lord paid a high ransom to save us today. Not just from eternal damnation and judgment, but mainly to fulfill God's plan with us. And I hope as young men today, you better realize this, right? And hey, give yourself to the Lord. Tell the Lord, Lord, work on me. I want to be perfected. I want to reach that goal. If you miss that goal, what are you going to have? Your bank account will mean nothing when the Lord comes back. Okay, you may have 10 Mercedes-Benz or whatever you have. You won't need it anymore. So today you're after all those things. You don't even need an Apple computer when the Lord comes. You have to throw those away. So what are you going to have when the Lord comes back to rule over this nation? And at that time, to realize your situation, it'll be too late. So we all need to realize what God wants to accomplish with us. And I don't mean you shouldn't worry about all the other things. No, it's just okay, just for this life. But what is important is the coming world. Not this world. Not the present day. This is what the Bible tells us. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Learn to be content. Manhua pa bian, you know? In Hokkien we go, manhua pa bian. What is the use? If you have enough, if you can live comfortably, that's good enough. Praise the Lord. Right? Why do you need 10 watches? Your arm is just this long. Right? International. Yeah. Is all in your smartphone. You don't need 10 watches. You know, wow, one watch, wow. cost $25,000. I said, I'll buy it if it gives me another 24 hours a day. Then it's worth it, yeah. Then I'll pay $25,000, okay? But hey, that $25,000 watch can also only give you 24 hours a day. Not 1 second more and not 1 second less. So what for? I'll be happy with a steak cook. How about that? What? Can you watch give me a golden hour? No. No. Right? So let us be wise today. Let us really be wise. If we do not have this view in front of us, then we'll be wasting our time today in doing so many other things and miss the mark. Miss the mark. Do not miss the mark. Yes, we still need to work. Still need to run a business. Still need to go to school. Don't say, oh, the Lord is coming. I'm not going to school anymore. Don't do that. Go to school and do well. Praise the Lord. But if your whole heart is just for your degree, then don't do it like that. No. Even use your school days to gain Christ. If you go through 5 years of college and never won one person for the Lord, and there are so many young people, you're missing the mark, right? There are so many opportunities for you to gain Christ, to share this wonderful purpose of God with other people, right? It's not just to gain a degree, right? When I was in college, living in a dorm there in the southern part of Germany, I made so many friends and brought them to the Lord. Every time we came together in the kitchen to have dinner, they joke, oh, here comes the preacher, and change the topic. Really, but we're good friends. Yeah. And so many classmates and dear friends came to my room. We talk about the Lord, we pray together. That is how the Lord started the church life in Europe. So it doesn't mean that I don't go to school anymore, that I neglect my homework. No. Well, I don't read my books anymore, just reading the Bible. No. No. But hey, I'm not there just for a degree. I'm there for the kingdom. So we all need to learn this, to see what our goal is. Yes, continue doing your business, but you do it for the Lord. And with the Lord, and with the kingdom in view, right? And your heart must be where your treasure is, like our Lord Jesus says. Right? Where your treasure is, that will, there your heart will be also. So may the Lord really help all of you young people here. Don't be distracted. And the enemy tries his best to distract us. Don't think it is not possible to be distracted. So many things in this world will distract us. Amen. So, the world to come is yours. And today, the Lord wants to take the rule of this world away from the hands of the enemy and give it to us. And so, we really need to cooperate with him. Nothing is worth it. Missing that goal, no. Nothing can be compared to that glorious goal. And Hebrews chapter 2 tells us, giving us one of very important advice. Verse 8, we already talked about last night. And I want to repeat it because this is the foundation of the book of Hebrews. Once you see this, then everything falls into place. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he, meaning to say God, left nothing that is not put under him, man. Really, even in this fallen state, without man, who is going to rule over the Philippines? The monkeys? No, the monkeys cannot rule over the Philippines. Your police dog? Can you imagine the police are all just dogs? No, I don't know why they call it police dogs. Because they're used by the police, right? But hey, without man, who is going to rule? Even though man is fallen, God still gives the rule over to man, right? Otherwise, who's going to rule? The birds? The monkeys? The dogs? No, they cannot rule. Only man can rule, right? But now we do not yet see all things put under him, under man. You cannot even rule over a mosquito. Can you? Can you tell a mosquito, get lost, don't come to my house? How about the termites? Tell the termites, you can eat your neighbor's house, don't eat my house. They will not listen to you. Even the fly, you have a hard time. It comes back all the time. Every one of these creatures became fallen and rebellious like us toward God. Yeah. This is a problem. If you see how rebellious a mosquito is biting you, you should know it's because we, Adam, the head of all of God's creation, is fallen. And the way why they are so terrible biting you is because of us. We made them like that. Romans chapter 8 says, the whole creation due to us is subject to corruption. That's why you have so much trouble. Cannot even control a mosquito. Don't think I'm joking. I'm not joking. And so the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the glory of the sons of God. Then they will also be saved from corruption, delivered from corruption. Right? So, we do not see that happen yet today, but we see Jesus. Verse 9. What kind of Jesus do you see? Just the one who died on a cross? No, but we see him today sitting on the throne. So my question is to everybody, what is more glorious? Jesus Christ dying on a cross? Or do you prefer to see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne? What do you see today? Brother Quintin, what do you like to see? Just every day seeing the cross and sad, oh, he died for me. And some people even weep and cry. But the Lord will say, hey, look up. I'm sitting on the throne today. So what kind of a Christ do you see today all the time? If you are trouble conscious and you're flesh conscious, then you will, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you you died for me, because you're all the time conscious of your trouble, of your sin, of all your problems. But if you see the one on the throne, crowned with honor, crowned with glory, it will remind you, hey, Charlie, that's where you should be. How about that? So it depends on who you see and what you see. What kind of a Christ do we see today? It's very important. Don't think it's not important. It is very important, right? So the first thing you wake up in the morning is to see him not hanging on the cross, but you see him sitting on the throne. How about that? You want to do that? Practice that? Then it will remind you, hey, you better get yourself ready to sit with him on the throne. To him who overcomes, the Lord's promise to the church in Laodicea is, I will what? Give him to sit with me on my throne together. Praise the Lord. And I hope that this goal will, from this day on, accompany us in our daily living, that we will not forget, right? Every time we turn to the Lord, we want to see him sitting on the throne there, because that is our destiny and our destination, our goal. This is where we want to be, right? Now, praise the Lord. Chapter 2 tells us, in order to achieve this with us, after accomplishing the wonderful redemption on the cross, the purification of sins, and all this wonderful accomplishment, the Lord has to become two things for us, two kinds of offices in order to help us. Number one, like we heard yesterday and last night, he has to be a what? The captain of our salvation. Number one. And that is why here, for it was fitting for him, verse 10, it was fitting for God, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. And the writer of the Hebrews used all kinds of adjective and phrases to describe. And don't think these verses are not important. That means all things created by God is for him, to accomplish his will. And by him, right? All things are for him, and all things are by him. And his point, purpose, is to bring many sons to glory. Now consider this one small point. Why do you think God created so many things? For what purpose? Why do you think he created fish on the sea? So many, right? Yeah, every day you go to the marketplace, right? I think many of the mothers, you go to the marketplace. Maybe you never went to the marketplace. No, right? But you go to the marketplace. I know Gigi goes to the marketplace. Have you ever been to a marketplace? Oh, we ran out of fish because the ocean has no more fish. No, after so many centuries, still so many fish. And chicken. No, nobody runs out. Fruits, right? So many things. What do you think God created in such a, volumes? For whom? For you. For all of us. Otherwise, what are you going to eat? Right? It's almost, they won't run out. Do you have any worry that there won't be any more mangoes in the Philippines? Nobody worries about that. Because, right? You have today mangoes all year round. During my time, only some season, but today, my goodness, I don't know how people do it. You're so wise, you even fool the mango trees that it's seasoned already to bear mangoes, right? So, why do you think God created all these? For whom? Definitely not for the monkeys, but for us. What for? That we will exist today. For what? So that he can bring us into glory, to achieve his glorious purpose. If you miss that purpose, believe me, the word says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when the Lord comes back. It's up to you. Whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. But he went through so much trouble in order to bring us into glory. And you don't want it. You think God will not get angry, eh? Right? So, now, listen. It says, to bring us and many sons to glory, that is why he made the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So the Lord, as a man living on this earth, has to be made perfect. Otherwise, he cannot bring you into glory. So it is not just for salvation, but to constitute our Lord Jesus Christ to be the captain of your salvation, he has to be perfected as a human being, not in his divinity, but in his humanity. Now how? Not by going to a theological seminary, but in his daily living, all of his life, he went through all kinds of sufferings. Otherwise, he cannot lead you into glory. Now, how do you expect to enter into glory without sufferings? Just enjoyment? Vacationing all the time? How are you going to be perfected? Our Lord was perfected through what? To be the captain of our salvation, to fight the battle. That means he won. He won against all the temptation from the devil himself and all the misunderstandings and persecution while he was on this earth. Right? And all those religious people, they want to get rid of him, to kill him. They rejected him. Right, and all his disciples misunderstood him. And his own brothers and family didn't believe in him. He went through all kinds of sufferings in order to lead us into glory. That means in order to lead you and I and all of us into glory, the way is through suffering. You like to suffer? Of course not. You like to cruise, you like wonderful food, and you like everything nice, right? Me too, all of us. But those nice things will not perfect you, no. But the way that the Lord is going to perfect you is to raise up a lot of situations to bring us through sufferings. And he knows how much you can bear. And he has gone through it himself. Otherwise, he cannot help you, okay? Right? Otherwise, he cannot. But he has to be perfected in such a way so that he can cut through that highway to glory and bring us through that way. That means to say that there is no other shortcut. The way is to go through sufferings. If you and I are not willing in many different areas in our life, we react immediately, or we refuse to do this or that, and when trouble comes, we are not very happy with it. Either we avoid it, or we run away, or we just, right? We don't know how to react. Just like the Lord, he knew what to do. He went through it victoriously. Right? So, this is the way, and you need to appreciate that. Don't think it's very easy to be a captain. A lot of people like to be preachers. You think it's easy to be a preacher. You just have a mouth and you can be a preacher. So easy. You just have to be an eloquent person and you can be a preacher. I've seen so many eloquent people, but I don't see any bit of reality in their life there. And at the end, what happened? Right? So, we also need to go through sufferings to reach glory. There is no other way. There is no other way. And here we have a captain. And this captain is for the spiritual warfare. For the spiritual warfare. Because the enemy will do his best to stop us. Don't think the power of darkness and Satan himself will just let you do whatever the Lord wants you to do. No, there is a battle going on. Don't think when the Lord was on this earth that because he's the Son of God, it is easy for him to accomplish God's purpose. No, it was not. It was not. No wonder Paul says anyone who wants to lead a godly life will suffer persecution. Yep. Today, even in campus and anywhere, we are ashamed to talk about the Lord, right? Are you? I hope not, right? Even just sharing the Lord with other people, we can hardly get it out of our mouth. Why? Why? You know the reason, right? But our Lord, when he was on this earth, he only cares for the Father's will. And this is why we need to know the Lord as our, what kind of an offering? A burned offering. Burned offering. This is really wonderful. You want to be like Christ? First of all, you learn, Lord, I really appreciate you as such a burned offering. And I want to experience you. Prepare such a burned offering for the Father. Right? So then your life will be like Christ. To do the Father's will instead of choosing many other things. There are so many choices today on this earth for you. What do you choose? The Lord chose to drink that cup, to suffer death on a cross. That's the final test right there. And the Lord took it. Right? So I really hope that we all learn. And we have a captain. Do not forget that. Not just a savior, but a captain. Why is it a Bible? Describe our Lord Jesus Christ in so many different aspects because we need it. We need it, right? So He is the captain of our salvation. We need to know such a captain, leading us to go through all this warfare and difficulties and win, because He is victorious. He is the conqueror, right? The one riding on a white horse. Yep, praise the Lord. And we are today His army fighting the battle. You know, many years ago, when I started to serve the Lord, I thought it was easy. I'm serving Him, so everything must be so wonderful and no problem. It must go smoothly, right? Of course, right? The Lord's work, so everything must go on smoothly. Isn't that our definition of blessing? Isn't it? Oh, what is your definition of blessing? Everything goes so well and no problem. Right, isn't it? That's blessing. What about if you have to go through so many problems? Janine, how about that? You consider it as a blessing? You see, in our natural concept, that's not a blessing. But actually, this is blessing in disguise. It's even a much greater blessing than when there is no trouble, that everything went so smoothly, because you gain nothing. But when you are in so many difficult situations and you learn to gain Christ and experience the Lord through all of this difficult situation, what you gain is this glory, the way to glory. And this is the real blessing. And this is the way the Lord is going to lead you to glory. No other way. No easy way. No shortcut. Sorry. I know in the Philippines you have so many ways. It's called ways. W-A-Z-E. Because it shows you any shortcut. But in the heavenly ways, there is no ways. No. He is the way. And the way is to go through sufferings. Like it or not, take it or leave it. It's up to you. Sorry. In all these years, almost 50 now, I can testify to you, I never before expect so many problems. But after 50 years, I really praise the Lord for all the problems. Yeah. All the blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You know, if I'm going to name you one by one, you will be surprised, because all those blessings are a lot of troubles and problems and difficulties and challenges and... And the more we follow that captain to fight through the battles, the more you come closer to glory. Right? So, it says here, praise the Lord, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Then in verse 11, it says, for both he who sanctifies. Now, here is the second point. On one hand, it's the battle. And if you go through the battle, this is the way He's going to sanctify you. You become more and more holy, because we are very unholy. And we are very common, natural. Remember, the antonym of holiness is not unholiness and evil. No, it is common. Something that is common, natural. Our natural way of thinking, our natural concept, right? Our natural understanding is not holy. Holiness is according to Him. And the Lord, He is our sanctifier. And remember, in the book of Hebrews, especially in chapter 12, our Father, the Father of spirits, because He's the Father of our spirits, we are born again by the Holy Spirit, is constantly chastening us, disciplining us. Why? In order, firstly, that we can bear the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And number two, that we can be a partaker of His holiness. I'm afraid in many of our concept, although we heard this word holiness, okay, and righteousness, but in our daily living we don't pay attention to it. We do not pay attention to it. Right? So may the Lord really help us. Right? He is our sanctifier. He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. One refers to the source, which is our Father. Are you being sanctified day by day? Are you? What about today? Can we really say that every day the Lord is sanctifying us? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But we have to tell the Lord, Lord, make me holy, sanctify me. Because it's a command. Be holy, because I am holy. This is what the word says. If you read Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter. Be holy, because I am holy. Many times our thoughts are unholy. Many times our desire is unholy. Many times what we said is unholy. Many times how we react is unholy. Why? Because we don't have the consciousness of what Hebrews says. He is our sanctifier. And we are the ones being sanctified. And we are all of one source, the Father who is holy. And so praise the Lord. For this reason, He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our big brother. Can you call Him Brother Jesus? Now, what is the consequence of saying Brother Jesus? That means you're of the same source. Right? Where is my brother here? He's not here. Oh, he's not here. You two are here. You two are sisters. Why are you two sisters? Because you both have one source, the same source. That's why you look alike a little bit. And the Father is there somewhere sitting there. Right, He's there. There's a dad. So one looks more like dad and the other looks more like mom. Why? Because you're all from one source. Now if we say that our Lord is our big brother, what does it mean? That means we are all of one source. We should be looking alike, right? We should both be holy, right? And the Lord is not ashamed to call you brother. Are you ashamed to call Him brother? Just doctrinally? He is not ashamed to call you brother because He is sanctifying you, making Him the same as He. But if you are far from being like Him, oh, He is my brother. People will say, what? He is really your brother? If I say, oh, Murray, Johannes Murray is your brother. No. He cannot. He looks like a German. You look like a Chinese. He will say, no, he's not my brother. We don't look alike. Maybe he's picked up somewhere in a garbage can. That's what my mother used to say about me. Where did I come from? I came from the garbage can. That's where they found me. Right? And that's where God found us. We're all in a garbage can, fallen in sin, terrible condition, right? So remember, to fight this battle, you really have to have the consciousness of being righteous and holy. Otherwise, you cannot win the battle. And so this captain of our salvation must really help us to sanctify us. Yeah. Because if we are as rotten as the devil himself, how are you going to fight him? Right? So, praise the Lord. I hope that this word will really help you. Then, let's jump. I cannot go through every point, otherwise we will not finish. Then, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. First of all, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Praise the Lord. Amen. A wonderful victory. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, you're no longer under the bondage of death. And then it says, for indeed, again here he's talking about the angels. Indeed, he does not give aid to angels. That means he didn't come here to save angels. No. Praise the Lord. But he does give aid. The word give aid means to help. But it's not just a simple help, but that he put on humanity. He became a man himself. Okay, he partook of flesh and blood. It's more than just helping you from far away. But he became a man in order to help us. Now, it says here, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. That means you have to be the seed of Abraham. If you are not a seed of Abraham, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and being baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not of the seed of Abraham. Don't say don't be baptized. No, baptism is very important. According to Galatians chapter 4, you are baptized into Christ and put on Christ. You are one with Christ, and therefore you are a seed of Abraham like Isaac. Then you can become heirs. Co-heirs. Praise the Lord. Never say, oh, baptism is not important. Never, ever say that. If somebody says that, you should just stop. You can say that anywhere else, and I hope not, but definitely not here. Right? So, we really need to see that he gives aid to the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord. So, you want his help? Especially with regard to the things of God, then you have to belong to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now, as a captain is fighting the battle in things pertaining to subdue all the enemies. The captain there is to finish off the enemy, to make all the enemies his footstool, to defeat the enemies of God. But as a great high priest, he's going to help us in things pertaining to God. Yeah. So, in things pertaining to God, we need a great heavenly high priest. Remember these 2 points, because beginning in chapter 3 onward, you will see how important it is to see these 2 offices of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? To make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. So the only one who can really help us is not a pastor, because the pastor himself failed so many times. Sorry to say this. If I failed and failed and failed again, how can I help you to overcome? Must be terrible. If I'm your tutor and get F's all the time and fail every test, and you're asking me to teach you and how to get A's, you came to the wrong person. Right? How can I help you get A's when if you take a look at my report card, it's all F's? Right? Are you going to hire me as your tutor for your daughter? You're going to kick me out. So if you hire me, you should say, show me your report card first. And if it's all F's, fire me, don't hire me. Right? You change the H to F. Yeah. Don't hire me, you fire me. Yeah. Right? So, who can really help you when you have trouble going through all kinds of temptation? Who do you think is qualified to help? No one can help you much better and really in a victorious way than this great, merciful, and faithful high priest. I like these two words. To qualify our high priest. Not the captain. The captain is not very merciful, you know. If you're in the army and the sergeant is there, don't say, oh, I don't feel too good today. I cannot make 20 push-ups. Do it! That's what the sergeant is going to tell you, right? Do it. The more you're sick, the more you have to do it. Come on. And if you're sick, do it 40 times. Oh, my goodness, he's not merciful to you. Because in a battle, you cannot be merciful. No captain is merciful. Anyone who is very merciful cannot be a captain. Right? Cannot. Cannot be a captain. I've never seen a very merciful captain yet. Faithful, yes, but not merciful. Right. Merciful and faithful. Why merciful? Because we fail so often. And he knew, because he became a man. And he understand everything about humanity, because he became a man and lived on this earth 33 and a half years, going through all problems. So if in the church life, being a leading one, you're not merciful, you're not qualified. Because you don't understand the saints. They just make a little trouble. Out you go. Here's the door there. And you'll be the only one left in the church. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be the only one left. Right? If your daughter there committed some mistake, you just kick her out of the house. Right? Did she do that? No. I hope you have a merciful mama. That's why you're still here, right? But, yeah, we all need to be like this. If we are not merciful, we cannot help the saints. Really, right? Our Lord is merciful. Especially in things pertaining to God, he knows how difficult it is. We react. Just a little bit of this and that, oh, I criticize. How come he or she is like this and that, blah, 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 right? As if I were so perfect. Well, I must be perfect, right, if I keep on criticizing other people. Are you perfect? Maybe a little bit more perfect. But if you are, then you have to help others. Right? To really perfect other saints. But our great Heavenly High Priest is merciful and faithful. He will not give up on you. He will never give up on you. It's you who give up yourself. You give him up, but he will not give you up. So, trust in him. Right? In that he himself has suffered so much, he went through, both as a captain and now as a heavenly great high priest. Being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Now, this is first two chapters. Right? In order to bring us all the way to the goal, all the way into glory, right? To be co-kings with Christ, sitting on the throne with him to reach this wonderful goal, the Lord is not only our Savior, initially accomplishing propitiation for our sins, purification, but now he has to be what? to lead us in a battle, a spiritual battle, for a kingdom. When it comes to the kingdom, there is always a battle. Because today, Satan is ruling. Darkness is ruling. And all the demonic activities, all the flesh, fallen mankind there, it is a battle. Even just to live on this earth is a battle. Okay? So, we need a captain. And now, to carry out God's divine purpose in things pertaining to God, to be a priest, to serve God properly, you need a great high priest. Yeah, because we are both kings and priests. We are his army to fight a battle, and we are the holy priesthood to really serve God acceptably. And this is why all of these offerings are very important. These are the job of the priest. Right? Suppose you say you're a chef, the top chef of Shangri-La. Wow. But you don't know how to cook. And you never cook. You can only boil water, just like me. That's the only thing I can do. And put the egg in it, and that's it. There are two things I can do. For the rest, I cannot. So I'm not a cook. I cannot call myself a cook. If you're a priest, and the most wonderful, important service of the priesthood is to bring and offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Father to satisfy Him. And we don't do that. What kind of a priest are you? That's why the book of Hebrews brought us to the main point. We have such a wonderful great high priest. Now he's serving God in the heavenly true tabernacles. And he has a much better perfect offering than the offerings in the old covenant days. Wow, right? And now that we have such wonderful offerings, now it's up to you now, as the holy priesthood, to learn to offer up these sacrifices to the Father. Logical? Agreed? Yeah. What is the army doing if they are just playing basketball every day? You're fighting a battle against the basketball in Ateneo de Manila. Why? We are not fighting by playing basketball. No, we are fighting a spiritual battle. Right? Then it's not an army. You're just a basketball team. Right? It was a basketball captain. It's not a battle. Right? So, we have a spiritual battle. And as a priest, we are serving this wonderful God to satisfy Him by bringing the spiritual offerings to Him. Clear? Amen? Amen. Any questions? Yeah? No question? Claro? Yeah? No question? You sure? Yeah? No more? Okay.